The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. Today is Sunday, so it's time for The Limeys with a show entitled The Final Episode of The Limeys. So let's get going. Let's timestamp the show. It is 10:01 a.m. here in London, England, this Sunday, December the 29th, 2024. And just to warn you, I might sound a little bit different. I didn't think I'd be able to go ahead with the show. I've been coughing all night, but I have managed to. I'm going to give it a go. So I've got a lot to talk about today, and it'd be a shame to not to do a show, because I've got a lot to tell you that I hope that you find interesting. Okay, so today's show title, The Final Episode of The Limeys, is pretty self-explanatory. I've been thinking of ending the show for a while, and it seemed like a good time to do it on episode 200. I will touch on some of the reasons for doing so throughout the show, but in essence I need a new challenge, and rather than revamp The Limeys, I would like to start fresh with new ideas in a new format. For those of you interested in the show's history, The Limeys debuted on February the 1st, 2021, with Paul English as my co-host. On June the 28th, 2021, episode 29 was released, in which both Paul English and Malefica Scott joined me on the episode to mark Paul's final show and Malefica's first show. Episode 185, broadcast on September the 15th, 2024, was Malefica's final show, and the last 15 episodes, including today's episode 200, I recorded solo. But I believe the loss of The Limeys will actually be a good thing for the ACH show, which I will tell you about later in today's final Limeys show. So hopefully I don't sound too bad. I remember I was listening to Ted Brower a few years ago on the Ted and Austin Brower show, and for about a week or two it was horrible to listen to him, because his voice, he was struggling with a cough or a sore throat or something, and it was just, you know, sort of, I don't know, it was a bit unpleasant to listen to. You sort of imagine yourself going through it. So I hope that I'm still okay for you to listen to. What I have done is I've got some music on standby. In light of how I'm feeling, it's the opening credits to the John Carpenter film Prince of Darkness, which I believe was released in 1987. That's one of the pieces I tend to listen to before I go to bed. I listen to instrumental music before I go to bed, so if suddenly I have a coughing attack or something like that, I will endeavour to stick that on and just bear with me and I should be back. But hopefully that won't happen. Regular sips of water, you will notice, as I try and just work my way through the show. Okay, I just want to draw your attention to today's traditional Christian message entitled The Parables of Jesus 10, House Built on Rock and on Sand, Wise and Foolish Builders, which is a 6-minute message that is now available on achshow.com. Now, all of these are very short. Some of the shows have been coming in at 4 minutes. Literally, I think the opening and closing music is longer than the content. But the reason they're done in such a way is that one day someone might put them all together, just the parables, and then we'd have a full show. And it's really to let you think about the parable rather than think, well, we'll get 20 minutes worth in, then you're not going to think too much about the parable. But some of them are longer, and I've got them all saved and ready to go with. So please, you know, check it out if it's the topic that interests you. But these ones we're getting through early on just tend to be from just one of the books, although the one yesterday was from, I think, both Matthew and Luke. And, yeah, I'm enjoying doing the series. It gives me a lot to think about when you read each parable in isolation. Okay, so let's have a look at today's top story, in the UK at least. Here is today's front page headline from the Daily Star Sunday. Rise of killer robot fridges. And apparently, smart fridges could lead a robot takeover of the world if the devices start speaking to each other. The newspaper quotes a data firm saying everyday objects are in danger of going rogue. Now, I don't know if it was in the last year or maybe a bit longer ago, but Jeff Rentz revealed that some AI had started talking to other AI in a language that only they both could understand. And I think one or both of them were taken offline. I think it may have had something to do with Google, I'm not sure. You might want to look that up if... You might want to look that up if you can still find it, if they've not censored it. But definitely it was news that was out there, and I think that it went mainstream. Okay, so whilst in the UK more and more people are frightened of expressing their opinions in real life or online in case they end up in jail, let's look at what's been going on in the UK legal system in the past week, and in particular some of the people who avoided jail recently, presumably because they presented a lesser risk to the public than those expressing opinions that the authorities do not like. Now, this section of the Limeys show has been running for over 18 months, and I've gotten kind of bored of finding the same sorts of people avoiding jail every week. Burglars, sex offenders, violent offenders, paedophiles. So on that basis, if you put the script for this section from a few weeks ago in place of the script for this section I have for this week, I probably would not notice the difference. But nevertheless, here are the stories I discovered on this topic for this section in the last week. First up, Daily Mail. Female takeaway driver, 19 years old, was on wrong side of the road when she ploughed into 82-year-old woman, as she is spared jail. Next, Lynx Online. Spalding man caught with 11,000 indecent images of children, spared jail. GB News. War widow spared jail after relentless alcohol-fueled attack on new partner. Then we go to Yahoo News. Serial offender avoids Christmas in jail after smacking man in face with a bottle. GB News again. Woman who defrauded employer out of £370,000 walks free due to pregnancy. Glasgow Live. Glasgow teen who blinded man with petrol during mistaken drug raid avoids jail. Island Echo, which I believe is the Isle of Wight. Ride man avoids jail time despite breaching suspended sentence order. Then Press Journal. Man avoids jail for historic sexual offence against young child. I didn't know there was a statute of limitations on that. And finally, Daily Record, veteran housebreaker with criminal record stretching back 43 years, spared another Christmas behind bars. Okay, so the future of the ACH show. For me, my best show is Saturday's I'm Talking to You show, in which I cover my favourite independent media shows I've listened to in the past week, along with stories from the independent media. As I record that show when I'm ready, and not for a specific live slot I have to fill, I am also a lot more relaxed during its recording, and I finish it when I've covered everything I feel is worth telling you about, which means I don't have to ramble on in order to fill a 1 hour radio slot. During one period in the ACH show's lifetime, from October the 30th, 2017, to February the 1st, 2019, I broadcast a new show every day. And as of this Wednesday, January the 1st, 2025, my plan is to be broadcasting a new show every day. The Sunday show will continue to be the traditional Christian message. The Tuesday show will continue to be with Dr. Peter Hammond, and the remaining 5 days of the week will be a revamp of the I'm Talking to You show that will cover the most interesting stories from the mainstream media and the independent media from the particular day the show is recorded and broadcast. The plummeting audience figures being experienced by the mainstream news media are, for me, largely due to their unwillingness in conforming to a faster-paced world, a world in which many people choose to get their news from more succinct sources such as two-minute TikTok videos. Whilst I don't intend my 5 weekly I'm Talking to You shows to be that short, I'm aiming for around the 15, 20, 30 minute mark, during which I believe I can summarise the most interesting mainstream and independent news from that particular day. So we will see if I can do it, and we will see if you enjoy it. But I, for one, am looking forward to this Wednesday, January the 1st, which is when I will start doing a show every day of the year once again. Okay, so let's have our weekly look at the BBC Verify website and see if the BBC have verified whether or not a member of their team, Mariana Spring, lied on her CV, as the Daily Mail reported in their November 20th, 2024 article entitled BBC's Truth Checking Unit Under Fire for Quietly Deleting Statement After Saying Government Was Right About Number of Farmers to Be Hit by Inheritance Tax Raid. So let's go over there now. Just going to refresh it because I've got it open, ready for a change. I'm generally hunting for where it is. A bit late in the day to have it ready on this last show I plan to be using it, but you never know, I might delve into it now and then on the new show. So what we do here is we go back to the oldest headline we can find that we wouldn't have covered last week. So what is it? It's the 29th. So, well, there's only one, because we've got the 17th, which is obviously over a week ago, so we would have covered that last week. We've just got the 23rd of December. BBC reveals fighters accused of massacre in Sudan. So I thought this section of the line is, well, it's one that didn't provide the sort of interest for me that I thought it would. But nevertheless, I will be including a link to the BBC Verify page in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Okay. Sorry, I thought I was going to cough then. Okay, so now let me share with you the delights of being me in the last week. Now, I mentioned that I was going to my mum's and staying over there Wednesday, which was Christmas Day, on my own. I wasn't completely on my own on Christmas Day, and I'm not complaining. I actually do enjoy my own company, to be honest. That's why the solo show idea is something that I'm actually looking forward to. I'm not thinking, oh, you know, it'd be better with guests and stuff. I prefer to be able to put everything together myself and do my very best to do a good job, and then I only have to rely on me then. I don't have to rely on anybody else. So one thing that I did when I went over there was I had corned beef sandwiches for Christmas dinner. Now, I'm not going to be going near corned beef sandwiches for a long while now. But essentially what it was I believe in the Planet X cataclysm for a few years, and still wouldn't be surprised if something like that does happen, and that's why all these horrible things have been done to us in readiness for that. But I bought a lot of food in, and people talk about these, I mean, what they call them, SMEs, these ready meal things that's supposed to keep, you read about it, and oh, they keep for 25 years, and then when you go onto a website, you find hardly any of them keep for that. Most of them only keep for about 2 years. They cost a bomb. And something that keeps for between 2 and 3 years is corned beef, and it's the only tinned food I will eat, really. If I look at a, you know, I wouldn't eat soups or ham or anything like that out of a tin. I just, oh, it's not for me. But corned beef is okay. So I bought loads of these in, because they were more reasonable than these other things, and they had the same sort of shelf life. But they were coming up to the end of their shelf life early next year. So I decided to work my way through them this year and do that at my mother's house, because I never finish it, and I don't want to go back to it the following day. It's a bit like if you go to McDonald's for a Big Mac. You're going to give it a while before you go back again. You're not going to go back there again the next day. It's nice, those first few bites, and then you're in no hurry to go back. It's a little bit like that. But the other reason is that I can put what I leave out for the birds, and it's a pleasure to watch them come down, and, you know, the crows and the magpies, and, you know, it doesn't just go in the bin here and is wasted. So I'm sort of doing that in my mum's house. Not Christmas Day, but the previous week, I was running late, and I was going past the restaurant, and I thought, it was about 11:30, I thought, they'll be taking orders now. I could easily go in and order a drink and wait 10, 15 minutes, order food, have it at midday. But I knew I had two tins of this corned beef left, and I was desperate to have the last one on for Christmas Day, which was also my 40th Christmas, not in that house, but it's 40 years since I spent my first Christmas in that house, because we moved in July of 1984 when I was 11. So it's now 2024, I'm 51. There's been times in the Christmases in the middle, most of them been spent there, but I went to Germany with a German girlfriend once, and then when I was living in Dorset and what have you, I know she used to prefer to spend Christmas, the two of us and stuff like that. So I didn't always go to my parents, but more often than not, I have been in that house. So for me, it was a reasonable Christmas, and I'm pleased to have done it. I'm pleased to be out the other side, and I'll be pleased when I hopefully get through to Wednesday feeling a lot brighter, because I'm looking forward to the Wednesday show. I've been thinking about doing this new set of shows for a while, so I'm quite excited about actually getting going. And okay, so as of December the 1st, 2022, we have a total of 2,362 people having died after taking the fake vaccine, and 474,018 people having been injured after taking the fake vaccine. These figures were published on the British government's website page entitled Coronavirus COVID-19 Vaccine Adverse Reactions, and were aggregated from the totals of the five vaccine analysis prints linked to on that page. I say were because the British government are no longer publishing these, as whilst their website page still exists, the five vaccine analysis prints have now been deleted from it, so I have absolutely no idea of the official figures today. Okay. Hold on. Right. So what I just read to you, I have been reading on every episode of The Limeys for a couple of years. The reason being that I believe they were going to bring back another pandemic with another vaccine, which they had no intention of reporting the adverse effects of on a government website. Whilst I still believe that could well be the case, this is another aspect of the show I have become bored with. However, I would direct you to the vaccine link section at the bottom of the post for this show, in case you want to bookmark any of these. I certainly think the BBC one at the top is worth keeping. If they aggressively push a vaccine again, this will give you some documented mainstream media push back against it, so they can't say, oh, where do you get that from? Facebook, all this sort of nonsense, you know. But now it's time for this week's Viruses and Vaccines, in which I'll give you a rundown of all the health-related stories I've encountered in the past week. And this won't take long, because there are only two of them. First, we've got Daily Mail revealed Britain's worst A&Es, that's the equivalent of the emergency room in the USA, Britain's worst A&Es, where patients wait 12 hours to see a medic as hospitals buckle under strain of winter quaddemic. And the worst is apparently Shrewsbury and Telford. And then the other one I've got is Daily Mail again. Number of babies and children dying needlessly following NHS blunders at birth is soaring amid maternity scandals. It's amazing how much we've progressed over the years, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Okay. Next, links and show descriptions in show posts. Now, while I tend intend to include many links in the show post for The Lime Is. The only link I ever click on for a show I want to listen to is the link to listen to the show. That is why in the I'm Talking to You show, I only include a link to listen to the show. I don't include a description of the show's content. Again, for me, all I want is the show. I rarely read show descriptions as I prefer to be surprised by what I hear. The only show descriptions I tend to read before listening to a show are show descriptions for lengthy shows to see if there are any bits I am not interested in that I can edit out before I listen to it. This is why the show posts for the five I'm Talking to You shows that will start on Wednesday, January the 1st, well, not including that show as that will be a special, but from Thursday, January the 2nd onwards, there will just be a link to listen to the show and no show description. The danger of this is that just because that's what I like, that doesn't mean that's what you like. However, in order to make the time available to broadcast a new show every day, I need to cut back on the time I spend on production, and I have come to the conclusion that abandoning show descriptions and show links in favour of more show content is a small price to pay. Also, as my show posts are deleted from my website a month after they are published, the show descriptions and links therein only have a limited life, which is why I plan to explain how to find a particular link that I believe you may want during the show. Okay, I'm going to take a little break for a second, so I'll just put this music on for you, and I'll be back with you shortly. Well, I hope that's sufficiently creepy for you. That's an excellent film, by the way. John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness. Yeah. So, sorry about that. Basically, I've limped through as best as I can, and it got to that stage where I really need to blow my nose and have a good cough and stuff like that. So hopefully we won't have to play that again until the show ends, which may be before the end of the hour. I just really want to cover everything and then get out of here, to be honest. So let's see if we can do the hour, but if not, there is another show coming up in 36 minutes on RadioSoapbox.com. So if you are listening live, please just take a break and return to it then. Okay, so let me see where I was. Okay, now it's time for some of this week's Daily Mail articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall, which, as the Daily Mail is the most visited news website in the world, gives us an insight into what they, whoever they are, want us to be thinking and talking about. Get it the right way around. Okay, but before we do, I have noticed that even though the Mail Plus paywall was only launched earlier this year, there has been a huge increase in the amount of articles that are only available behind their paywall. Whilst I don't think the Daily Mail will end up as a subscription-only website, I see this as an important development into where they are going with regard to their business model. Okay, so here are the articles I found to be worth mentioning from the last 7 days. First up, O Come All Ye Wokeful. Now, carols are censored by Church of England so they don't upset other faiths. Christian hymns such as O Come, Emmanuel have been singled out for depicting other faiths as being outside of God's grace. Also targeted was Lo, He Comes With Clouds Descending, a favourite of Queen Victoria. Clergy have been sent a link to research that suggests the second verse contains problematic words by stating Jesus is the true Messiah. Yes, I wonder who could have such a problem with those sort of words. Next, British government must take action to stop NHS hospitals working with firms subject to Chinese laws amid warnings they could harvest patient data to manufacture bioweapons. Wow, thanks for the heads up. Next, strained Keir Starmer badly needs holiday, his friends say, as they reveal PM is suffering from the relentless strain of the job. And maybe he wouldn't be so strained had he chosen not to flex upon his people protesting the murder of 3 toddlers. Next, terrified CEOs resort to extreme secret security tactics after Brian Thompson assassination amid copycat fears. Then we've got the Great Vegan Slump. Market for plant-based food shrinks nearly £38 million as analysts say meat-free firms are in a rut. Oh dear, how sad, never mind. Next, the symptoms of dementia families are being urged to look out for this Christmas. Well, maybe they were listening to last week's Limey show on lasting power of attorney. Next, if I can scroll down. Next, gay Georgia couple will spend life in prison for sick abuse of their adopted sons. And here is a quote from the article. A judge decided that married gay couple William and Zachary Zulock, once darlings of the LGBTQ scene in Georgia, will each serve 100 years in prison for sodomizing their young sons, recording the sex acts and providing videos of the abuse to other paedophiles. 11 Alive reported. The horrific abuse was believed to have taken place when the boys were as young as 3 and 5 years old. Next, Merry Kinkmas. Nearly half of Brits say they will romp at their in-laws this Christmas and reveal why this time of year is best for a bonk. How very festive. Next, world's most secretive society appoints new leader as second Trump presidency sparks seismic shift in global order. Now, this is the first Daily Mail article I have ever seen on the Bilderberg Group, and the new head of its steering committee is former NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg. Nothing to worry about there then. Then we've got union accused of woke language policing after banning pharmacists from referring to patients who faint as suffering from blackouts. Then we've got the wood burner police are coming. Curtain twitching neighbours complain to councils over domestic wood burning 5,600 times in a year. Our interactive map shows how many moaned in your area. Yes, we can't have people self-sufficient on fuel, because then we can't turn off their fuel supply when they say something we don't like. And finally, what is Kessler syndrome? Experts warn of imminent danger from space collisions that would knock out Wi-Fi and cell phones. And there I was thinking it had something to do with Charlottesville. Okay, so now it's time for our topic section, how to write a book. Okay, so as some of you may know, I wrote a couple of books. They're on my website, achshow.com, and they were both done in timeline format. The Synagogue of Satan was modern history, and In the Name of Yahweh was ancient biblical history. Now, I can still, to this day, I could not tell you what I wrote first in The Synagogue of Satan, but it was only going to be a record of my own research. And so I always give this same example, so I'm not going to change it now. There's been over 30, is it 30 or it might be up to 100 people now have claimed in deathbed confessions that they killed Kennedy. Well, I don't think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, but I don't think there were another 100 there. So they can't all be true. And then we also know of the Barack Obama ploy to essentially destroy the independent media by promoting all sorts of different theories out there. But I don't want to so much get into the book. I'm kind of going off topic. This is about writing a book. What I'm getting at is that I did a load of research on Kennedy for my own personal research, and then I wrote it all up, and I thought, how am I going to navigate through this? I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll save it in the year he was assassinated, 1963. And so I could always remember vaguely different years that things happened. And so that was how I started building this timeline. Now, if I'd have started a book once upon a time, my mother said to me, you'd never have finished it because you just, it's too daunting a prospect. So the, if you look at a book in a timeline format, you don't have to write it from beginning, middle and end. I'll give you an example. I mean, you can write a book on any topic, hobby, family history, and you could do it in like a diary form. So I've got a friend of mine. I've told you about him before. He's Steve, the minicab driver. And over a period of several years, there's something that you could do in this country that I'd never heard of before, he told me. But in football, you have 92 professional football league grounds. You have the Premier League, the Championship, then League One and League Two. All the teams that play in those leagues added up together comes to 92 teams. So they've got 92 football grounds. And there is a thing that people do in this country, and they go and visit each one of them, generally when a team they support is playing. Sometimes they're just going to have to see something else, because unless there's a, you know, a cup game, you're not going to get a Premier League side playing a League Two side, something like that. And the way it works as well is that if a team you've been to suddenly get a new ground before you finish the 92, you have to go back to their new ground. So when you complete the 92, it has to consist of all grounds that are still being used by the particular team. So, for example, if you went to White Hart Lane, where Tottenham Hotspur played up until a few years ago, as one of the first of the 92 you visited, and it took a period of years, you'd be going back to whatever their stadium is called today in that new location. So that gives you an example. Now, this friend of mine's not a big writer, but most of you have got voice recorders on your phone. So while he's going round that day, you see, I'm very conscious of, I used to say to my mum, we'd be on cruises, off, getting off, looking round, and all she'd be doing is looking at things to photograph. Amanda's the same at London Zoo. And I've never known them to go, either of them, to go and look at the photographs again. And I say, look, you're taking all these photos and not enjoying the day. And it's a bit like, if you were having to write a diary and stuff like that as you're going along and making notes, it could disrupt your day. So if you just have a little recorder and you just keep sort of going to that when you, oh, something happened, you quickly want to say that so you don't forget, and then go back to it at a later date, go back to that recording and then type it up. So you do that for one ground, and then you've got all the others to do, and that could be your book. So it's just an example there. But any hobby, as I say, any sort of thing like that is how I would go about doing a book. It makes it less daunting. Now, the other thing to bear in mind is to save your book to multiple sources. in case you have like a hard drive failure on your computer, I'm sure it's all happened to most of us. So if suddenly they say, oh, the hard drive's gone, unless you've backed up your data, it's gone too. So what I used to do is I would email myself the book every day as I updated it, and also save it on a USB stick, stick it up on the cloud if you use one of them, stuff like that, just so that if suddenly you have a failure, you're not going to lose all the work that you've done. And also, this Wednesday is a good time to start, as it is the start of a new year. So if you wanted your book to be a 2025 diary of a particular occupation or hobby, then there's your New Year's resolution for you. Okay. Coming up to the end now. So it's time for the news roundup of the week. Here we go, folks. First up, BBC. UK's longest-serving postman calls time on career. He started in East London in December 1964, and his last shift is today. Next, Daily Mail, owner of Britain's longest-surviving video rental shop, says business is booming and reveals which film has been rented by customers 2,000 times. And that is Forrest Gump, for some reason. I say that because I've never had any inclination to watch it. This video shop is based in Haverhill in Suffolk and offers a collection of over 8,500 DVDs. So whilst they call it a video shop, you know, it's like, that's what we always used to call them, but they became DVD, didn't they? Before the video thing went out of business quite a few years ago now. And finally, Daily Mail headline, Texas woman spent hours trying to flush dead female fetus down what a burger toilet. On that bombshell, you have been listening to The Limeys, episode 200, the final episode of The Limeys. I will be back with you with Peter on Tuesday, along with a special episode where I'm talking to you on Wednesday. Until then, folks, thank you for listening and bearing with me. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.